College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast with our special version of the Atlantic 10 off-season focus. Later in the show, I will be joined by Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley, and also want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your Atlantic 10 related questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And when shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And now that we've got you all set up with Geico, let's get into the Atlantic 10 heading into the 2017-18 season. And for me, it's amazing what's happened to this league over the course of time, because in 2013, you had five teams from the Atlantic 10 in the NCAA tournament. In 2014, you had six teams from the Atlantic 10 in the NCAA tournament. And right now, heading into next season, I think the only team that looks like a lock to hear its name called on Selection Sunday is Rhode Island, the defending Atlantic 10 tournament champions. How many bids will this league get next year? I really can't say beyond the Rhode Island Rams. To me, you have a lot of teams bringing some quality pieces back. St. Bonaventure obviously has a strong backcourt returning. St. Joe's, if it can get healthy, has a chance to finish at the top of the league. But I see major, major rebuilds at both Dayton and VCU, two of the flagship programs in the Atlantic 10. I also think that St. Louis is ready to come back in a major way under Travis Ford. A couple of years ago, I was banging the drum about Rhode Island to be the eventual flagship team in this league. And I think St. Louis, because of the way they've recruited, both via transfers and freshmen, could eventually become what Rhode Island was a couple of years ago in terms of a trendy team that could be headed upward. And as I mentioned, Rhode Island is the team that everybody has their eyes and ears on heading into next season. And the architect of the Rhode Island basketball program, Dan Hurley, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Rhode Island won the Atlantic 10 tournament last year to reach the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1999. They are the team to beat in the Atlantic 10 entering next season. And the architect of the Rams program joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. He is Dan Hurley. And Dan, what is it like right now walking on the campus knowing that the Atlantic 10 goes through the Ryan Center?
Oh, yeah, obviously a lot. You get a lot more smiles, a lot more people asking you how you're doing. A lot more head nods, and which is nice. It's been a long, steady climb for us, and I think the biggest thing you get out of it is just the confidence that you know how to do it, and that we're bringing back a lot of guys that know how to do this.
Now, as a Division I head coach, you built Wagner. You built Rhode Island, but up until last March, you had never been a coach that had played in the NCAA tournament or coached in the NCAA tournament. How internally is the feeling different now that you're over that hurdle?
Probably not as much as I probably would have thought. It was something that it was a goal and a vision I had, at both places to take the program to that level. Obviously, they were respectively, one was a 6-win program and one was a 7-win program when we got there. So there's a lot of work that needed to be done. But, when you take over a situation like that, I think that there's even more of a sense of accomplishment. It wasn't exactly a turnkey operation. But, shortly after the tournament was over for us, it became about that next thing that we can do, how we're going to elevate, and be better and take more steps as a program.
Now, as somebody who's an ultimate competitor, as you are, it's very hard sometimes to take solace in your achievements if you don't wind up where you want to end up. You guys had Oregon, a team that went to the Final Four and could have beaten North Carolina, really on the ropes late in the round of 32. Do you still have the Oregon game, obviously, at the forefront of your mind, or do you accept the fact that your team had a breakthrough season and beat a good Creighton team to advance?
Yeah, I mean, we've watched the edit of that Oregon game, and probably at the beginning of summer session, once all the guys were here, we wanted to, take a look at that and break that down and kind of go over the mistakes and obviously learn from the good, the bad, and obviously that was a game that. Had an 8, 10, 12-point lead, six, a lot of the second half, up four with 2 minutes to go. And, to look at missed two-on-one opportunities, to see that, not getting a free throw rebound, leads to you not advancing to the Sweet 16, a block charge call late in the game, 50-50 call. You replay that stuff and you realize how close you were. And I think it's just it fires you up and gets you, it just inspires your whole program to hopefully next March go a little further.
Now, you look obviously at what happened. You were in a situation where you lost to Fordham in February and then won 8 straight games until you played Oregon. What happened after that Fordham game that allowed your team to get on such a run?
Well, I think, part of it, John, Hassan Martin, got healthier. He was obviously a big part of our program the last last 4 years. He helped us build it, and his health improved late in the year. But I think it was we met the night before the George Mason game with the older players and talked about the need to the need to win now, the need to be successful, and the need to go on a run, and what winning and success does for your life, and how important it was at that stage as juniors and seniors that they break through and win and play great down the stretch, because it was winning and succeeding is great for your career, obviously, and their legacy that they were leaving behind. And I think guys like Hassan and Karan and Jared and EC Matthews all I think they responded to that conversation.
Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Rams fresh off their first NCAA tournament appearance since 1999, the team to beat next year in the A-10. Now, you in two different instances right now at Rhode Island have had to deal with what goes into being on the bubble. You obviously ended all that talk last year by winning the Atlantic 10 tournament, but for somebody obviously out there who isn't familiar with what it's like as a head coach to be on the bubble, how would you describe the month of February leading into March from a brutality perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's, it seems like you're getting a bubble update, whether you want it or not, every couple hours, every other day, we could all, talk about turning the noise off and, I'm locked in and I'm just focused on the next task and the next practice and the next opponent. But, it's human nature. You want that experience, for your staff, your players, your program, your university, the community, just everyone involved in it. It's such an amazing, tournament to be a part of and it's impossible to shield yourself from it. And you're just noticing now that year after year, it seemed to be starting the bubble earlier. I think we have a bubble right now going into the summer. So there's a playing in the social media age, playing in the, kind of a hot take, era right now. There's a different level of pressure and scrutiny that comes with that. And you just have to You know, you have to train your mind and be ready to handle the pressure, expectations, and real-time bracketology.
Has that gotten easier for you, Dan, as you've went through this more and more? What types of things have you done to put yourself more at ease when it comes to controlling only what's going on within your program?
I mean, for me, it's just having a routine, every day, try to be, meticulous with, exercise and diet and sleep and, meditation practice, things that'll, just put me in my best position to make good decisions. Being a leader of a program, college program, it all comes down to, making good decisions with your program, with the people that you bring in and the type of program that you run, the things you value. And when you're in a decision-making position, it's so critically important that, you're just the best version of yourself and that you're always getting better. And, I've just matured on the job. I've been a coach for a long time, and, the 9 years at St. Benedict's learning to be a head coach certainly helped. And, now I've been a head coach for, almost 15 years.
And obviously, if you're going to be able to adapt with the times, you're also going to adapt based on your personnel. How will this Rhode Island team compare to the one we saw last year that almost beat Oregon in the round of 32?
I think we're I think we have a tremendous group of guards. Where the goal in that guard room right now is to be the best group of guards in college this year, the best two-way group. In terms of playing both ends of the court, obviously we expect to be an elite defensive team. But we also expect, this group of guards, to be, incredibly prolific group in terms of the efficiency and the ability to create offense for us, so it's obviously a great guard group. And then we got a lot of depth in our front court too. Some of it is depth that hasn't had a chance to play quite as much, thanks to, having guys like Hassan and Karan Iverson in the program. But, Cyril Langevin has got a chance potentially to be a first-team all-conference level player in this league. And, Nicola Achilles, a rotation player his first 2 years, can he take the next step as a junior and give us more? And then you have a couple of bigs in Andre Berry and Michael A. Sarr, that are big, physical, kind of skilled guys that have been dying for a chance and are working extremely hard to get out on the court. But, obviously you could expect quite a bit of four guards from us this year. Been going to school a lot on Villanova and some of the programs that implement that four guard attack.
Well, and that obviously would probably mean a bigger role for Stan Robinson, who might have been your best player when you played Oregon last year in the NCAA tournament. What does a smaller lineup mean for somebody like Stan?
Well, it's a way that we're certainly going to play this year, and Stan right now has been able to. I think he finished the year well. He had some strong games down the stretch. Obviously, the Oregon game was, kind of the high point of that. But he's restored the confidence, back to when he was a high school player and a highly recruited guy. He believes in his shot. He's obviously a tremendous attacker of the front of the rim and finisher with either hand, and he's just a guy that's riding the confidence of the end of the season into the off season, getting better and better. He looks amazing and in terms of his body and his athleticism, and that's the thing that you get when you have senior players, 50 year seniors like E.C. Matthews and Stan Robinson, and even a fourth year junior like Jared Terrell. These are not typical guard. These are grown men, that are playing guard in college, and they're all 6'4", 6'5", and strong. So, we won't be small, even though we're playing, a bunch of guards this year.
The one thing I think that's interesting, Dan, is that when you look at obviously being smaller and more skilled, you give yourself some opportunities to obviously protect the ball more. But it seems like basketball in general is going to a smaller brand. What do you enjoy as a coach from a control perspective about having guys out there who can all pass, dribble, and shoot versus playing traditionally with two bigs?
Well, I mean, you're seeing a lot less pressing. now. You know, obviously with, you know, with the traditional center, power forward, small forward attack with a, you know, point guard and shooting guard, you know, the game's obviously going positionless, but you know, you saw a lot more pressing, you know, when there was that one less ball handler, which was then the power forward. Now, you know, you've really got a small forward playing the four and three guards, you know, around one interior player. And that's probably, you know, 80%, almost 90% of the teams we play will kind of attack us that way. And that's just a nature of the way that the rules are being designed and, you know, in college and, you know, taking away the hand check and the freedom of movement and cleaning up a lot of the post play has really opened the game up and made it more of a skill game, more of a movement game, more of a spacing game, 3-point shooting game. And it's just, I think it's an exciting, open way to play ball.
EC Matthews comes back from, you know, an ACL tear last year, has some moments that, you know, resembled earlier in his career. What do you think the second season post-injury will look like for a guy who came in as a top 75 recruit out of high school?
I mean, you know, EC obviously, you know, first year back from the ACL, you know, had some great moments early. Cincinnati at Mohegan, you know, he closed that game down the stretch for us, you know, with some big shots. And I think he went through some of the, you know, some of the rust and adjustment that you have to make when you're coming back from the injury that he came back from. But his last, you know, his last 10 games in particular, you know, the level of efficiency and, you know, in a high level production he had in the A-10 tournament and you know, it was, I thought, the best he had looked in a Rhode Island uniform. And, you know, and then, you know, in the Oregon game, you know, second half, he has 2 threes that just, you know, go probably 80% of the way down where, you know, if they drop for him, now it's a, you know, 20-point game, and now a Sweet 16 matchup with Michigan, and you know, who knows what happens with EC at the end of the year. But you know, for him, I expect a guy that's on a mission to, you know, as a fifth-year senior with the, you know, the talent experience that he has, is to, you know, try to have one of the best seasons of any guard in college next year in terms of, you know, the way he plays the game, both ends of the court, his efficiency, assist to turnover ratio, decision making, the whole thing. I think he wants to show that he's a complete guard next year and that he's an NBA guard, and, you know, that obviously that he's a, you know, can win back-to-back champions and go back to the tournament.
And for you, you know, you've had a couple of opportunities when you were at Rhode Island to entertain some other opportunities, and there's always the hope when you're in a league like the Atlantic 10 to build a program like Greg Marshall did at Wichita State, or Shaka Smart did at VCU, or Archie Miller did at Dayton. Now that you're on your perch and you can kind of have that view, what does it look like?
Well, it's exciting. You know, it's not easy to put the people together, the coaching staff, you know, to attract the recruits, you know, to a vision, you know. Again, it was a 7-24, you know, scenario that guys like EC Matthews and Sam Martin signed on for initially, and now we have something tangible that we could show, you know, kids in the recruits in the class of 18, 19 that, you know, hey, we're the type of program that, you know, can have huge moments in March, get you on that big stage in front of the country's eyes, and, you know, and give you a chance to establish yourself in college basketball. You know, that's the point that we've been able to take this program to, and just want to continue to bring, you know, bring in the types of recruiting classes that we've been able to find here, so that, you know, so that we can, you know, compete at the top of the conference. You know, that's all you want as a coach, is to coach in a program where you got a legitimate chance every year to be at the top of your league.
Well, Dan, appreciate a couple of minutes. Know you're a busy guy. You know, we appreciate you working us in through your exercise, nutrition, and meditation. Good luck in the July recruiting period, and I'll talk to you along the way.
All right, man. See you.
We'd like to thank Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you again to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And it's time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter right now. I'll get to them. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Richmond Spider Fan. It's John, can the A-10 get 3+ teams in the NCAA tournament next year? Right now, I would have a hard time seeing the Atlantic 10 getting more than 3 teams in the NCAA tournament. But again, we all know when you're operating in the Atlantic 10, and you're a team in the Atlantic 10 that has obvious issues getting quality non-conference opportunities, if those teams can go out and win big games in November, December, it changes the complexion of the league. Our next question comes from Steven Studley, and it's John. We know Rhode Island's backcourt is amazing, but who will step up in the front court? I think Cyril Langevine is in place right now to have a monumental breakout sophomore year. You look at the roles that were vacated in Rhode Island's front court, he will step in seamlessly for Hassan Martin. In games last year where Cyril Langevine played over 20 minutes a game, he averaged 8.6 rebounds. That's a nugget for you. Our next question is going to come right now from Joe, and it's Joe asking to me, is there any hope for UMass under Matt McCall? And it's Joe, I really got to tell you, I think you better brace yourself for a rebuild at UMass. Obviously, you know, losing the two kids, Bryson Gresham and also Dejan Giroux, who were a big part of that freshman class under Derek Kellogg, is a major hit. Have to give Matt McCall a little bit of time to get things up and running in Amherst. And as promised, we would break down the Atlantic 10 from soup to nuts this week, and we're going to start with our power rankings.
John's Atlantic 10 Power Rankings.
Rhode Island obviously 1, St. Joseph's is going to be 2, St. Bonaventure 3, I got St. Louis at 4 because of the influx of talent. Then I go with Dayton, VCU 5-6, Davidson at 7, LaSalle at 8. You know, when you look at the Explorers last year, could never seem to put it together on a defensive side of the floor, but have the chops, I think, to be a dangerous offensive team and a team that could surprise some people this year as well. Richmond 9, George Mason 10, GW at 11, UMass, who we just talked about, at 12, Duquesne 13, Fordham at 14. Now to find out who the best player in the A-10 is next year.
John's Atlantic 10 Preseason Player of the Year.
I'm going with E.C. Matthews of Rhode Island, the best player on the best team last year. He was instrumental in having, obviously, Rhode Island go to the NCAA tournament and win the Atlantic 10 tournament championship. E.C. Matthews, of course, top 100 recruit out of high school, was a guy that after his sophomore year was potentially thinking about going to the NBA after his junior season, tore his ACL. This guy should be a lot more healthy than he was a year ago when he was coming off that ACL injury. E.C. Matthews is one of the 5 best players in the Atlantic 10. Who are the other 4?
John's Atlantic 10 Preseason First Team.
E.C. Matthews and Jarrett Terrell from Rhode Island. Jalen Adams, one of the least appreciated players in college basketball from St. Bonaventure, another guard. B.J. Johnson from LaSalle, the transfer from Syracuse. And Peyton Aldridge, the all-conference forward for Davidson, make up the Atlantic 10 preseason first team. Now, who are we sleeping on?
John's Atlantic 10 Sleeper.
I'm going with Davidson under Bob McKillop. Davidson, to me, has been a team that, for all intents and purposes, has been slept on because they lost Jack Gibbs. But you got to look at Bob McKillop's roster and ancillary pieces that return. Everybody else, aside from Jack Gibbs, okay, is coming back for Davidson. Good offensive team, and again, a player of the year candidate in Peyton Aldridge, and a real nice utility player in John Axel Gunmanson. Now let's look at some of the best incoming freshmen next year in the Atlantic 10.
John's freshman to watch in the Atlantic 10.
You want to know why there's so much buzz about St. Louis? They've got two top 100 freshmen, Jordan Goodwin and Hassan French. Both could be starters for St. Louis next season. Fats Russell from Rhode Island will pair nicely with their veteran guards, a guy who can be a change of pace player off the bench. Kellen Grady, the 6'4 freshman going to Davidson, could step in for Jack Gibbs. And then Costa Antetokounmpo, the brother of Giannis Antetokounmpo, is a redshirt freshman that will play for Dayton. Now, what about the transfer game?
Sean's transfers to watch in the Atlantic 10.
I go back to St. Louis, who had three kids sitting out last year, should have major impacts, and they have two others that are also sitting out who may not have the same amount of impact, but three right now on the list for St. Louis: Adonis Henriquez, the transfer from Central Florida; Javon Best, the transfer from Michigan State; and DJ Foreman, the transfer from Rutgers. Then the other two key transfers, both from VCU: Isaac Van and Chris Lane. Chris Lane, obviously the grad transfer from Longwood. Now, let's look at some breakout guys.
John's Atlantic 10 breakout players for next season.
Mentioned Cyril Langevine. He's on the list from Rhode Island. Also going to go with Stan Robinson from Rhode Island, who was Rhode Island's best player, arguably, when they lost to Oregon in the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament. Josh Cunningham from Dayton will take a big step forward, as will Deriante Jenkins from VCU, and then Jair Baldwin from George Washington to cap off the breakout list. And remember, when you're shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. We'd like to thank Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Next week, we will preview the ACC from soup to nuts. And again, we'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.